Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
How do you feel about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others? 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. On that Sunday, we proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, into new life. And we proclaim that He is living today, that we serve a living Savior. And it is our living Lord and Savior speaking to His disciples before He ascended back into heaven after His resurrection, saying to them, "Go and be my witnesses. Go and tell people the truth that I am alive. Go and tell people what my life and ministry has been all about and what it means to you to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father through me and because of what I have done on your behalf. Go and be my witnesses." How well are we doing that? The Apostle Paul wrote several letters to a man named Timothy. Now, Timothy was someone that he had met on one of his missionary journeys in the city of Lystra. And as he was coming through Lystra and sharing the gospel, Paul and Timothy began a relationship, a friendship, what would develop into a very deep friendship. In fact, at the beginning of the letter that we're going to read from here in a moment, Paul names Timothy as "my dear son." You are as dear to me as my own son would be. So they were very close, and Timothy spent time with Paul and their fellow missionaries traveling and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, that had taken place several years before. Now Paul is in prison. In fact, he's in prison precisely for sharing the gospel, precisely for telling people about the resurrected Christ, a message that many were opposed to, and eventually a message that got him jailed. And it is from prison that Paul writes this particular letter to Timothy, letter that we call 2 Timothy. And that is where we turn this morning. The text you will find in your bulletin, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 8, and then again verses 13 and 14. "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. That is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for Him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Timothy, a precious truth has been entrusted to you. But I am concerned that you are not sharing that precious truth. You have become fearful and timid. You are tempted to being ashamed of this truth rather than declaring it freely and openly. And it may be for some of us here today that we would find ourselves in the same place as Timothy. People who have become intimidated into being more quiet about that truth, not so open to share our faith, to tell others what we believe, what we have experienced through our faith in Jesus Christ, the love of God, which we are assured of within ourselves, a love that we believe is through Jesus Christ, His Son, a love that will bring us eventually into an eternal relationship with Him in that place we call heaven. Oh, yes, we do believe that, but we have become reticent to share it with others. To tell people that a man who lived 2,000 years ago was crucified, and yet he rose from the dead, and he lived again, and indeed he still lives today, that he actually is the Son of God, sent by God the Father into the world, that we may get to know that God, that living Jesus is our Lord and Savior and desires to be your Lord and Savior as well. Sharing that with people these days open us up to ridicule. How can you believe that someone who lived 2,000 years ago is still living? And besides that, I'm a pretty good person. You're insinuating that something is wrong with me, that I am, according to your religious word, sinful. You're suggesting that I can't take care of my own life, that when I make mistakes, when I do something that maybe I shouldn't have done, that I can't make it right, that I don't have enough integrity or enough goodness within myself to be the kind of person I should be. You seem to be saying to me that I need to be saved from something and I can't save myself. And frankly, I find that very belittling. And I find it rather arrogant on your part to suggest that that is true of me. I don't know you well enough. Maybe you need something like that, but I certainly don't. I'm proud of who I am. I'm glad for what I have made myself. And if heaven really exists, and I'm not too sure about that sometimes, but if it exists, I am sure that whatever the entrance requirements are, my life is going to meet those. I am good enough. Don't tell me that there's something wrong with me that I cannot take care of myself. Don't tell me that I'm like a lost sheep who can't find my way home. Oh, I can find my way home, and I'll decide where home is. You know, you Christians say things like there's only one way to heaven through Jesus. Don't you know how, you know, narrow-minded that sounds? Don't you know that there are all these religions in the world and they all are true and you shouldn't be the only ones to say that you know what comes next. And so on and so on, and we hear those things, if not personally, in sharing our faith with others, we certainly hear it from the world in general, through the media. We hear it from the philosophies of the world. We hear it from the halls of academia in our colleges and universities. We hear it in talk shows. We see it in various things that are put on the TV and that come across our computer screens. And perhaps, like Timothy, we become a bit intimidated. We become people who keep our faith to ourselves. And frankly, we're not fulfilling Jesus' command to go and be my witnesses. And when we don't, when we keep quiet as Christians, when we're unwilling to deal with, frankly, the opposition, and even, as Paul says, the suffering that comes along with sharing the gospel with people, many of whom don't want to hear it and will actively oppose us and try to silence us, then the gospel is not being shared. People are not hearing the message. And the Apostle Paul, in one of his other letters, in the letter to the Romans, said, if people don't hear the gospel, how can they believe it? And if you and I are not willing to share it, they're not going to hear it. But Paul says that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. And that is why Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I will not stop speaking the gospel. Not because I think that I am better than others and I need to try to demonstrate that through the gospel. Not because I believe that God is going to award me some special spiritual brownie points for sharing the gospel, that I get a nicer home in heaven or a bigger car than you or something, whatever it might be, that might come my way. No, I share the gospel, Paul says, because of its ability to accomplish the most important thing that can happen to a human being, and that is their salvation. And so, Timothy, my son in the Lord, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm a prisoner for the gospel. But recognize Timothy, and this is where Paul begins to shape Timothy and to help him to see not only why it's so important to share the gospel, but how he can begin to overcome his timidity and his shame and begin sharing the gospel. He says, you have in this amazing truth the most powerful thing in the universe. Through the gospel, we have access to the power of God which saves people. That is an eternal consequence. There is no other word spoken in the world, whether through a religion or through a philosophy or through an ethical system. There is no other word. There is no other truth. There is no other specific or general reality that accomplishes what the gospel accomplishes, the salvation of a man or a woman. That all of us who are sinners and all of us who have been separated from the God who created us and who loves us and who longs to be back in relationship with us, it is through this gospel and faith in this gospel that will save each and every person who believes. There is nothing stronger than you can say, Timothy. There is nothing greater than you can speak. And there is no word that other people speak in opposition to you that is in any way, shape, or form greater than the gospel that you have to proclaim. There is nothing that can be said in this world that lessens what the gospel recognizes, what the gospel speaks to, and what the gospel has the power to provide for people through the power of God. And that is salvation. So Timothy, recognize what you have. Recognize its incredible power. And do not give up on it. Do not let others talk you out of it. Don't give in to whatever fear or intimidation or shame that you are feeling because of what other people are doing to you. Don't let go of the power for salvation. You see, Timothy, Paul says, God has given you a spirit of power. There's power in the message. He has also, Timothy, given you the spirit of love. And this goes to how you share the message and your motive for sharing the message. Think with me, Timothy, about how the message came to you. Indeed, how it came to the world. Why did God give the message, the gospel, to the world? Well, Timothy didn't have the gospel of John, but we do. And even people who don't believe in the Bible and people who don't follow Christianity know at least one of those verses that come out of the gospel of John. And it gives the motive for God revealing this gospel that has the power of salvation, and that motive is the love of God. We all know it. We can quote it. We can even speak it to unbelievers. They'll recognize it. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, which is at the core of the gospel message, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. What is the purpose? Eternal life. What motivated God to reveal this gospel and to make it possible through His Son? Love. It is because of love that the gospel has empowered you, Timothy, has empowered you, Steve, has empowered each one of you to be saved. It's because of love. Because God cares for us. As his apostle Peter says in his letter, that God does not desire anyone to perish. He is patient, allowing the gospel to do its work that more may be saved. And since God's love is what motivated the gospel in your life and in my life and in Timothy's life and in Paul's life, what Paul is saying is that you share the gospel with others, your motive is love. Your motive is because you care about people. You don't want to see people perish any more than God wants to see people perish. And you love people because God first loved you. That's the motive for sharing the gospel. And so we need to find ways to share the gospel that are winsome and that are inviting. Ways of sharing the gospel that speak of the love of God and the blessing that is upon those who receive the gospel. Not only in terms of heaven one day, but in terms of life each and every moment, that our very best life in this world is lived in relationship with God, which is ours through this gospel. I share this with you because I love you. I want the very best for you. Sharing the gospel should never be a power trip for Christians. It should never be a way for Christians to say that they're somehow better than others or holier than others. Too often we do. In fact, when we do that, we're treating power, the power of the gospel, like the world treats power. What's the purpose of power in the world? The purpose of power in the world is so I can be better than you, so I can be above you, so I can get more than you, so that I can, I. And all too often, Christians, those who perhaps have not been intimidated into being quiet, are on a religious power trip. And people understand that and pick up on that very quickly, and they don't like being pushed around in the worldly sense, and they certainly don't like being pushed around in the religious sense. So the power of the gospel is to be exercised in a kingdom of God way, and that is exercised through love. You've been given a spirit of power, Timothy. You've been given a spirit of love, and you've been given a spirit of self-discipline. Now, how does self-discipline come into this power and love and the gospel? What is that about? Well, in this context, in the context of sharing the gospel, self-discipline, Timothy, is that you need to recognize that when you share the gospel, people are going to look at you, they're going to look at your life, and they're going to ask whether Timothy is living a life that is consistent with what he's speaking. If he says that his gospel that he's sharing is about love, is Timothy a loving person? And you know Timothy, and each one of us knows how hard it is sometimes to love people, especially people who certainly don't seem like they want to be loved, or letting us know that they'd rather have us just go love someone else and leave them alone when it comes to sharing the gospel. Self-discipline, Timothy, is you being sure that you are disciplined in the living of the Christian life so that your message may not be contradicted by your life. You've been given a spirit of power. You've been given a spirit of love, and you've been given a spirit of self-discipline. And if you take those things, Timothy, and if you put them to work, then you're going to be a person who is able to share the genuine love of God for people as revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the good news, which we call gospel. And it is so important, Timothy, Paul says at the end of our reading in verse 14, that you recognize that all of this is by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in each one of us. You're not expected, Timothy, and I hope you're not hearing me say, Timothy, that you need to do all this on your own, that you need to figure it out. That my job is to say, hey, buck up, Timothy. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Get with the program. Be a better Christian. You can do it. I know you can. Go for it, Timothy. No, that's not what I'm doing, Paul is saying. What I want you to remember is all of this is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who lives in me. That's why Paul says who lives in us. He doesn't say just lives in you. And elsewhere, Paul is so clear on this. The only reason, Paul says, that I can do what I'm doing is because of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. I'm a weak vessel. I'm a cracked pot, he says to the Corinthians in his letter to them. Who am I? It is the Holy Spirit within me that is at work. And it is through the Holy Spirit that the words that I speak become powerful because they're the words of the gospel. So Timothy, the power that you have been given, this power of the gospel, is to be exercised through the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, who will give you words to speak, because in and of yourself, you're probably just going to get tongue-tied. He's the one who is going to strengthen you to love people that are hard to love. And He's going to help you with that proper motivation for sharing the gospel on behalf of others. It's not for your sake that you share the gospel. It's for their sake. and He is going to help you be self-disciplined. We need to be sure we don't misunderstand self-discipline as you disciplining yourself, like this is up to you. Self-discipline means it's just the discipline that has to do with you, with your life. But the Holy Spirit in that area, as with all other areas, will help you, will strengthen you, will point out to you when you're not living a life that is consistent with what you're speaking. Yes, you may share the gospel as power. You may share the gospel in a loving and caring and winsome way, and people may still reject the gospel, and they may still not believe as you believe, but at least they will look at your life, and they will have to admit, even if they don't admit to your faith, they will have to admit that you are living what you're speaking, that your life is consistent with the message as you have received it from God. The Holy Spirit within you is a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Access that Spirit. Live in that Spirit. And you will no longer be ashamed of the gospel. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. These words of Paul to Timothy are challenging words. And it's not because Paul felt that Timothy had somehow lost his faith. He says, in fact, I remember your genuine faith, Timothy, and I know that faith is still in you. But now it's time to fan that faith into flame. It's like your faith, which may be strong on the inside, has kind of grown cold in on the outside, that people have not been warmed by your faith. Their lives have not been lit up by your faith. So stir that into flames. Fan it into flame so that once again the faith as you share it with others may bring warmth to them, may bring light into their life. Heavenly Father, you know the hindrances, the obstacles that we face as Christians today in the 21st century. Perhaps they take a different form than they did for Paul and Timothy, but it's been going on for 2,000 years. And yet the gospel is as powerful as ever. Love is still your way. And you call us to be self-disciplined so that we may have integrity, that what we speak and what we proclaim is also what we live. Father, bring all of this together for us by your Holy Spirit who lives within us. So when we have opportunity to share the good news, we're not intimidated, we're not fearful, we're not ashamed, but we declare with love and with gratitude the power of salvation to all who believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.